Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Auburn, Indiana, and earned a BS degree in business finance while playing basketball for the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. From 1996 to 2010, he was the men's basketball coach at the University of St. Francis in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And from 2010 to 20, he was the men's basketball coach at Northwood University. Since 2022, he's been the executive director of the Greater Midland Tennis Center, the largest indoor-outdoor facility in the Midwest. His name? Jeff Recaway. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jeff Recaway. He's the executive director of the Greater Midland Tennis Center, the largest indoor-outdoor facility in the Midwest, and ranked number one. Jeff, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Jack, and I feel very blessed to be able to spend this time with you.
Let's go back to Auburn, Indiana. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Well, I very, very fortunate to have the parents that I had growing up. And, you know, my grandfather was a dairy farmer, so my dad's dad, mom, you know, farming, so knew how to work, and certainly my dad and mom, but very much disciplinarians, and we all had our chores, and but they were great parents, and not only expected a lot, but showed a lot of love and were always there for us and all the sports and things that that we did.
What's the biggest thing, Jeff, you learned from mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Mom, I think, was, you know, the caring. Like, you know, we were fortunate that she was a stay-at-home mom, so, you know, took us around. She was the chauffeur, the taxi that took us everywhere, you know, and took care of the house. So it was actually, you know, the caring for one another. Dad, it was positivity and discipline. He was, you know, whether it was vacation or whatever, he was always up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I can remember getting, when I say kicked in a nice way, like, hey, time to get up. And, you know, you're thinking it's Saturday. Why do we, certainly the discipline and the relationship. He was a great relationship person.
You got a business finance degree while playing basketball at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. How good were you in your day, Jeff?
The older I get, the better I get, Jack. You know, I don't think I was great at anything, but I was pretty good at most things. I was very fortunate growing up, not only my dad, who was a lot of times my coach, whether it was basketball or baseball, but then as I progressed in high school, coaches that were really good at teaching fundamentals and the importance of fundamentals. So for my size, I was a good ball handler. So often, you know, even at 6'7" at Nebraska, would be the person that would handle the ball at different times. Not necessarily the point guard, but would be responsible for handling the ball as well.
After you graduated, you played a season in Ireland. Then your agent said, you have to go to this town called Los Angeles. And you spent 4.5 years in L.A. Talk about that chapter of your life.
So it's interesting. I had had an agent that I guess was responsible for me going to Ireland. And then things weren't exactly what he had said they were going to be. And then through a mutual friend was connected with Eloise Saperstein. Does that Saperstein name mean anything?
Abe Saperstein was the Harlem Globetrotters.
His daughter was the agent then that I ended up going with. And she got me connected with the Pro-Am League. That there was only one back then, and it was at Loyola Marymount in L.A. So ended up going out there and ended up staying out that area.
Paul Westfall, then, was he a coach there?
Paul Westfall, and I don't know if I've told you this story, but a great Paul. So Paul Westfall had, it was a Nike poster, and it said going home. It's all it had was going home at the bottom. It was him at the park by himself, walking away from the basket, shooting the ball in the air, you know, just kind of tossing the ball up in the air. It was my favorite poster because I spent a lot of time on my own working on basketball, whether it was at the park, in the gym. Used to break into my high school gym, so to speak, and go into the gym and just shoot. Well, anyway, I had this poster, and when I was in college, and then, you know, you get out and you throw everything away. Well, I'm trying to find that poster again. I'm playing at the park. It's called Live Oak Park, and just out L.A. By Manhattan Beach. And a lot of players would come down. Well, Paul Westfall was from Southern California, played at Pepperdine. He was an assistant coach at the time for Phoenix. And here comes Paul Westfall down to the park to play. So I don't know if Phoenix was playing the Clippers or the Lakers. I don't know, but he was in town. So we start playing basketball together against each other and at the end, I'm talking to him. This is one of my not so smart moments in my life. So we're talking, and I said, you used to have a poster, a Nike poster I had, one of my favorite posters of all time. And he said, going home. I said, yes, that poster. I said, I haven't been able to find it anywhere. Paul Westfall gives me his number, says, give me a call next week. I'll be in the office and I'll get you one. I never called him. I kept that, but I'm like, I'm not bothering this man over a poster.
Paul Westfall, if you're listening tonight, call Jeff. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he ever got into coaching basketball. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Jeff Reckaway. From 1996 to 2010, he was the men's basketball coach at the University of St. Francis in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he led them to the NAIA National Championship in 2010, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Jeff, how did you ever get into coaching?
Interesting story. So we were playing at Oklahoma when I was at Nebraska, and Danny Nee was our coach. So my last 2 years at Nebraska, Coach Nee was our head coach. And I can remember walking out, and I'd started thinking, I might want to do this coaching thing. I had great mentors and coaches growing up, learned some of the bad with some coaches I had after that, how not to do things. But we're walking out, and Coach Nee asked me, you know, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Coach, I think I'd like to coach. And he, for those that know Coach Nee, he was a military guy. I've never heard words conjugated as like he did, and the type of words at one time, which I won't repeat here. But he dropped multiple profanities, like, why would you ever want to get in this business? So I never said another word to him about it. But in playing in Ireland, part of my role or responsibility was coaching the junior team. So these are kids, junior high, high school age kids, and to coach them on basketball. Now, a lot of them played soccer. Basketball was not their first sport. But in teaching them the fundamentals and then seeing that light flash in their eyes when they got it, and really, really enjoyed it. And that's what got me into coaching. I started out as a high school JV, or actually freshman coach and assistant varsity coach, and did that for 1 year, and then was in a junior college in Danville, Illinois for 2 years, and then got my first head coaching job.
All right. You were there at St. Francis in Fort Wayne, Indiana for 14 years. Your best team was in 2000. You were ranked number one. But 2010, you win the NAIA championship. Talk about that run.
Yeah, it was, you know, we didn't finish the season great. We were pretty good. We had played in the best NAIA league in the country. You know, I think we had, at that time, had three teams in the top 10 in our league. So a lot like the Big Ten, plus now. we didn't finish the year particularly strong and dropped down to basically a 15 seed. We were almost really lucky to get into the tournament. We backed our ways into the tournament. Not expected to last very long in the tournament because at our seed, you're playing, we literally played the number one, I think number three and number five or six team in the country on our way through, but one at a time. I mean, we found a way to win. We actually played pretty well, played together, and I say overachieved. We had good players, and we had three freshmen that were starting on that team. So we, but it was funny because, you know, our parents that came didn't expect to stay long. So you bring enough clothes and things for a couple days, and that tournament, you had 32 teams. So the top 32 teams are there, and you play it out over a week. So it takes a little over a week, actually, to play the tournament. And one at a time, we made it through, but it was a heck of a journey.
Speaking of a journey, you were the cat's meow in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're the coach, okay? Becky's from there. At the time, you had four daughters. Now you have six. And you hear about an opportunity in Midland, Michigan. Becky ain't never been to Michigan. In 2010, how was it you decided to leave and come to Northwood University?
Yeah, you know, Jack, you mentioned relationships, and I had a friend at the time that had been a high school coach in Indiana that was at Saginaw Valley as an assistant coach that called me to congratulate us on the national championship, and then mentioned that, hey, this school just down the road, Northwood University, was looking to hire a new coach. And he said, I think you might be a good fit. Now, I'd heard of Northwood because of Rolly Massimino, and Northwood at the time had a campus in Florida that was an NAI school.
West Palm Beach.
And I was a national rater for NAI basketball. And, you know, because of that, had worked with Rolly and Northwood. He had pretty good teams there, so they were in the mix. So anyway, I thought it was interesting, but I was happy where I was. Because of a couple other conversations, I ended up reaching out to Northwood. So I had to reach out to them, but talked to the athletic director at the time, who was Pat Rietma. And from that ended up getting an opportunity to come up and interview, and a great mutual friend of ours, Keith Pretty, who at the time was the president of Northwood. I think it was scheduled for like a 10-minute introductory meeting with Keith in his office at Northwood, and it had to be over an hour that we spent time and just had great natural conversation, and Keith and I really hit it off then as well. And you know, my wife, the drive up from Fort Wayne to Midland was pretty quiet when she realized that this really could and was happening. But Keith and Gretchen and Pat and his wife and the people that were there really made us, and in particular Becky, feel at home, and knew that we were going to have a community there, and that's certainly the way we feel.
Rolly Massimino won the national championship with Villanova one year, Ed Pinckney, I think.
Yeah.
And Keith had hired him to be the coach of this little school in West Palm Beach. His assistant coaches were Chuck Daly, Bobby Orr, and I think Billy Cunningham. And they would golf in the morning. He'd take them to lunch. I mean, what a group of Hall of Famers.
Oh.
Okay, we mentioned the name Keith Pretty. That's how you and I met. Tell us about Keith.
you talk about, you know, again, relationships keep coming up. And Keith, you know, for all of his accolades and the experiences he has, pretty humble guy. Again, talking to him, you know, here's this ex-Green Bay Packer, yes. You know, and I did my research, so I knew before. In fact, I don't think Keith brought it up to me. I brought it up to him, and he had said how basketball was his favorite sport, but people wanted him to play football. He wasn't good enough in basketball, ended up going the football route. But we were able to have, over the years and even to this day, the relationship and the conversations, and he was very supportive of me and our journey on growing Northwood. It wasn't uncommon for him to call me before a game or after a game, even if it was a tough loss. So it was really special to have that kind of support from the president and the people that he connected me to, introduced me to, like Jack Krasula, Dan DeVos, just so many great people that have been so big in my life and important in my life. I can't thank him enough, and certainly value the friendship and the relationship both with Keith and Gretchen that we have.
We're talking to Jeff Rekaway, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Jeff Rekaway. 2019, Keith retires. He and Gretchen go up to Harbor Springs. The good life, and Northwood gets a man from Nova Scotia, Dr. Kent McDonald. He comes in, they have the 500-year flood, the COVID hits. Talk about Kent McDonald.
Boy, you know, and he'll talk about it, comes from his youth in Nova Scotia, blue collar, you know, a port growing up, but Kent's and Mary Ellen, not afraid to roll up their sleeves. Very easy to talk to, down-to-earth people. Also very supportive. And, you know, I stayed after stepping down from coaching because of Kent. Stayed at the university for 2 years in advancement development. And again, it started with my relationship with Keith, where he involved Rolly, actually, and I a lot in helping develop relationships and connecting people to Northwood, spending time with them. And then Kent carried that on and provided me an opportunity to stay with the university for two more years. And it's because of people like Keith and Kent McDonald that it was easy for me, whether it was recruiting players to Northwood and talk about the Northwood idea and the philosophy, but then also an advancement and development to talk to potential donors and alum about Northwood. And they're and Kent, again, is such a strong leader in that sense that, and we've developed a friendship as well.
All right. Northwood is America's free enterprise university, the Northwood idea, also the university's code of ethics, and our community's belief in the importance of fresh air. Freedom, respect, empathy, spirituality, honesty, achievement, integrity, and responsibility. 1,200 students. You were a head basketball coach in college for 24 years. What did the kids teach you, Jeff?
You know, I often say I've learned more from my players than I could ever coach or teach them. I've had, you know, guys that grew up in much different childhoods than what I had. Not having two parents. In one case in particular, often not having a place to put his head, stayed with friends at different times. Dad wasn't around. Mom was not in a stable situation. And that young man in particular, you mentioned the 2000 team. Steve was this young man's name. Became National Player of the Year. He's an ordained minister now, but his faith is what carried him through a lot of things. I had also a young man that did 11 years for involuntary manslaughter. Grew up in Fort Wayne. One of the best people that I've ever been around. I've learned so much from Clevis. He has a son that's going to be playing at Alabama football, Bubba Craig. It was awesome getting invited to his wedding. I think I was the only white guy at the wedding. But he'll say I had an impact on his life. I'll tell you, he's had a much bigger impact on my life.
As I listen to college coaches, I'm amazed that when the president of the university says we have to make cuts, enrollment's down, whatever, money's down, these coaches don't fight for their salary. They fight for their assistant coaches. Okay, I'll take a cut, but you got to keep both of my assistant coaches, or in the Big Ten, all 12 of my assistant coaches. Why is that, Jeff?
You know, we've all, and I don't know of a coach that hasn't had to earn their stripes, so to speak, or work their way up. There may be a few that happen to be in the right place or what have you, but most of us, including a Rolly Massimino that we just talked about, National Coach of the Year, and we're high school coaches, we're assistant coaches, drove the bus, drove the van when you had to take your team from one place, play a game, and drive home. So realize how hard that is, and I think coaching is about giving people opportunities and creating opportunities. So. And the good coaches realize how valuable those assistant coaches and the people that may be, quote unquote, behind the scenes are to the success and the sustainability of a team. So the loyalty.
Recently, I heard you give a speech on what do our young people need and want today? Recap that speech for us in a minute.
You know, discipline. The kids really do need in their life that structure, that discipline, that leadership, and they want it. They may resist it. They may not realize they wanted and needed it at first, but then to have that strength, and they need to hear the truth. They've got too many people around them, whether they're friends or others or social media, that they can find the things that they want to hear that justify maybe what they're doing or how they're going about life. What they need from us is the things that they actually need to hear to really make a difference in their life and more importantly, other people's lives.
I really admire you, but you've done some things and said some things that I question. When it's 220 yards to clear water, and you say, give me the 5-iron, I question. You do it. Okay. You make a statement that kids haven't changed. Jeff, are you nuts?
Well, I really believe that. Kids are the same. Parents have changed. And what we expect and demand from our kids, it's my strong belief, have changed. And when we would recruit players, it was also important to me to get to know the parents and the people that they surround themselves with. And when you found a solid young man, and I say that because that's what I recruited, but I'd say the same for young ladies, you usually didn't have to look very far, and you would see the even if it wasn't a mom and dad at home, a traditional, you had dad and mom involved in that as a rule. There's always exceptions to the rule, but as a rule. So when you saw those families that they demanded discipline, expected them to do the right thing, those kids were so much more secure and with faith.
All right. God has really blessed you with Becky and six daughters. Ariana, Jordan, Grace, Emma, Jenna, and Lily. If there's a guy out there tonight with five or six daughters, what do you tell him?
Well, I'm very blessed that my wife is way stronger than I am, and she is does the majority of keeping the girls in line, and she has that relationship with them. We both have our roles.
She's good at that. She's still working on keeping the guy in line.
Yeah, that's the bigger challenge than the girls. You know, there's so many similarities but talking to the girls about how important it is that they surround themselves with the right people, and that includes dating. And respecting themselves and demanding respect of themselves and for the people around them.
We're talking to Jeff Breckaway. When we come back, we'll ask him about his latest chapter in his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Jeff Breckaway. For the last 3 years, you've been the executive director of the Greater Midland Tennis Center. If you want to learn more, www.greatermidland.org/tennis-center. greatermidland.org/tennis-center. Tell us about...
Wow. So if you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I'd question your sanity. But it goes back to relationships. And, you know, I remember the first time, well, when I left St. Francis after being there 14 years, talking to our players. Again, I said we had three freshmen on that team. That started talking to them about doing the best you can where you are, treating people right, doing the right thing creates opportunities. And Same thing with the tennis center. It was because of relationships. When they had an opening, that someone reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested. And it went from how in the world would I be a good fit to finding out, like most things, it's about culture. It's about building a team, about giving them the resources they need to be successful, and then getting out of their way and letting them do their job. So when the opportunity arose, at first I wasn't sure I'd be a good fit, but led to some conversations. And then the more I learned, the more excited I got about it. And I've just loved it. There's so many more similarities about being the executive director at the tennis center and coaching than there are dissimilarities. I have a great team there now. I have great support. And our president and CEO of Greater Midland Organization, Terry Johnson, it's been a blast.
You're the largest indoor outdoor facility in the Midwest. What do you have? Six courts?
A lot of places would be happy to have six courts. We have 16 indoor courts. A total of really about 36 courts indoor outdoor. Altogether. And those 16 courts are under one roof. We're also the host of the 36th annual Dow Tennis Classic. We're very fortunate in Midland that we're the global headquarters of Dow Chemical. It provides a lot of resources for us and opportunities for us that a town of less than 50,000 wouldn't normally have. And thanks to Dow Corning, now Dow Chemical, they've been the title sponsor of this, and we've had the likes of Coco Gauff playing at our facility.
So you got to be one of the top 100 tennis centers in America.
We are, and we were fortunate that this last year, so we're a WTA 125 tournament. This last year was the third year that we were part of the WTA, and not just the ITF and USTA. And there's 90 WTA 125 tournaments worldwide. And the players voted us number 3 in the world behind Hong Kong and a tournament that's held in Sweden. So number 3 in the world, number 1 in the Americas. So North and South America, we were voted number 1 WTA 125.
The other day I heard about a new sport. First time I ever heard about this thing called pickleball. It's not tennis. Have you ever heard of pickleball?
Jack, I have heard of pickleball. For the last 2 years at the tennis center, we've embraced pickleball, and we've seen a lot of growth at the tennis center in membership utilization because of pickleball. We're investing even more. We're very fortunate with our facility. We're going to start this spring converting 4 clay courts that are outdoors in the back into 7 dedicated pickleball courts, with the support and investment from our Convention and Visitors Bureau because of the opportunity to host tournaments and other things that'll drive economic growth to our area. So we're excited about that.
If you want to learn more, www.greatermidland.org/tennis-center. You also own a sports bar right outside campus called Frick's. What are you doing, Jeff?
I tell you, opportunity. Frick's is the oldest bar in Midland, and was owned by the same family since 1955. With COVID, they had to close for a period of time, but they chose not to reopen it. The owners were advanced in their years and did not want to do it. It created an opportunity. I knew the family pretty well. It had such a history, not only with Northwood, but with Midland and the community, that I had an opportunity to buy it, and And I did. We've had some fun with that. We've got some scar tissue as well. But yeah, and I will say, Jack, having spent some time at your house, you've got some great paintings, pictures that if you ever want displayed, I've got a great place that I'd be happy to display those.
All right. Okay. 15 years ago, you convinced Becky to leave hometown, Fort Wayne, to come to this little town in Midland. Talk about the life of the wife of a college basketball coach. And also, the community would let Jeff Reckaway leave Midland. The community will never let Becky Reckaway leave Midland. She's become a huge part of the community. Talk about those two things.
Yeah, again, we talk about strength and faith. I don't think I would be able to do what Becky did with the amount of time that I was gone, whether it was traveling because of games, but even more so with recruiting and being gone for, at times, you know, a week at a time. And here she's taking care of, in some cases, five or six kids at a time, making sure they get what they need and get where they need to go, and without me around a lot of that time. So the strength and her faith, she was able to do something I don't think I would have been able to do as certainly as well.
She's on a lot of committees. Okay, one of them is called the ARC.
She's involved with the ARC of Midland, which is an organization that advocates for people with intellectual and physical disabilities. But she does a lot of connecting with the ARC with businesses like Dow, like Corteva, other businesses, and builds relationships and has those relationships. And you're exactly right. It'd be easy for me to leave Midland. They wouldn't let her leave because of the relationship she has and what she does in our community.
Well, Midland doesn't want to lose you either, so keep up the great, great work.
Thank you,
Jack. I admire you. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Grisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall. Believe in